By the time I hit the gavel. All right, good morning, everybody. We're on board the regular scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, November 27, 2018, and ask if everybody please join the board as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you and good morning. First item on our agenda is public comment number one. This is an opportunity for members of the public to address items on today's agenda or really anything you want to address. Anybody wishing to do so, come on up. And seeing no one moving to the microphone, we have no minutes this week, so we'll move on to personnel actions.
As presented.
I second.
Chitty.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Personnel actions pass. Claims for the 29th.
Move as presented.
Second.
Olson?
Aye.
Chitty?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Consent agenda board?
As listed.
Second.
Chitty?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Public hearing items. Consideration of Resolution 1930 approving a loan agreement, awarding the sale, and authorizing the issuance of a $1 million urban renewal tax increment revenue bond. And this is for Tedesco Environmental Learning Corridor Phase 3. Leanne?
Good morning. This is the final phase, or final stage of this process. It is a public hearing, so when I get done, that process needs to be followed. We have one institution that responded to the request for bids, and it was Great Western Bank, so this does award it to them, and the payment schedule is included. Do you have anything you want to add?
3.94% for 10 years. Anything else that needs to be out there before we open the public hearing? Okay. In that case, we will open the public hearing and ask if there is anyone who would like to address Resolution 1930, issuing a $1 million bond to pay for the Tedesco Environmental Learning Corridor to be paid back out of revenues from the wind, basically the wind towers, and a few other things. Anybody wishing to address that? All right. I'll close the public hearing, turn to the board for action.
I would so move that we approve Resolution 1930, approving the loan agreement in the amount of $1 million to Great Western Bank.
Second.
Motion and a second. Further discussion. Olson.
Aye.
Chitty.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Additional items. Discussion consideration of Resolution 1945. This is the Oak Hills Residential Parcel Subdivision. Hi, Emily.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so this is a residential parcel subdivision request. The applicant and the property owners are both here. Connie Otto and Chase Connis are the applicants, and the property owners are Charlotte and Howard Otto. The property is located in Richland Township along 677th Avenue. We're in the A1 District, Colonesco School District, Story County Ambulance District, Nevada Fire, Midland Power, Iowa Regional Utilities Association, and the Indian Creek Watershed. So this is a proposed division. It's a residential parcel subdivision of Parcel J. Proposed lot one is on the north here, and that's 3.62 net acres. That will be buildable for a single-family dwelling. Proposed lot two contains the existing farmstead and the existing dwelling. Both lots will have frontage along 677th Avenue. Here's an image of the plat. Again, the dwelling and all the farm buildings are located on proposed lot two. So just a little background on the area. There was an approximately one-third acre piece divided from the northern edge of the original quarter-quarter in the late 1800s for the Oak Hill Cemetery, which made the resulting piece a legally established... A lot of record. Parcel J was created in 2018 when the farmstead was divided from that lot of record. The existing family dwelling located on Parcel J was constructed in the late 1800s. Proposed Lot 1 contains open pasture area and some natural resource area. And Proposed Lot 2 contains existing single-family dwelling, several agricultural structures, and livestock fencing. So we are on the very eastern edge of Richland Township here. We're about 5.5 miles northeast of Nevada, 2 miles northeast of Fernald, and then approximately 4.5 miles northwest of the city of Colo. There are 38 parcels located within a half mile of the subject property. Of those 38, 12 contain dwellings and 10 meet the minimum lot size requirements in an A1 district to construct a single-family dwelling. There are 4 existing dwellings within a quarter mile of the proposed subdivision. Looking at the surrounding land use, we do have East Indian Creek to the west of the subject property. The Oak Hill Cemetery is located just to the northeast of the subject property. There is a wooded ravine located directly to the north. The property to the east is located is currently used as pasture, and this is also owned by the property owners. Their livestock and natural area to the south of the subject property. All the surrounding properties are zoned A1 agricultural. So in terms of the future land use, our C2C plan designates this area as agricultural conservation. There is a portion of proposed lot 1 that is designated natural resource area. Development is discouraged in this designation, but there's plenty of area outside of the designation for a single-family dwelling. No crop land will be taken out of production to accommodate the single-family dwelling. Here's some site photos. This is looking northeast at proposed lot 1. And looking northeast, again, at proposed lot 1, the existing access to the pasture area will be used for the dwelling. This is looking north along 677th Avenue, looking northeast across 677th Avenue, looking southeast at the pasture area, and then looking south along 677th. This is looking southwest at proposed lot 2. Hard to see, but the farmstead is located here. Looking south, again, the existing dwelling. Farmstead. This is looking west at the existing farmstead on proposed lot 2. And then looking northeast at the existing farmstead. Again, this is the southern boundary of parcel J. So that would be the southern lot line of lot 2. Looking northeast again to the pasture area, and then looking south along the curved portion of 677th Avenue. I won't go through the residential parcel subdivision regulations, but all of these regulations have been met. We did have some comments for the applicants, including if the existing driveway would be used, the couple modifications to the plat. The assessor's office did comment that lot 1 will remain assessed as an agricultural parcel per their conversation with the autos, as it's still in agricultural use. We did send notification letters to property owners within a quarter mile regarding the public meeting today. No comments have been received. All of the requirements for the residential parcel subdivision plat have been met. Both proposed lots do have frontage along a county road. There's going to be no agricultural land taken out of production to construct the dwelling. All Story County land development regulations will apply to future development in terms of natural resource area and the C2C plan, land use policies. There are 38 parcels located within a half mile, 4 existing single-family dwellings, and 10 parcels within a half mile that meet the minimum lot size for a single-family dwelling. So it is planning and development staff's recommendation to the Board of Supervisors to approve Oak Hills Residential Parcel Subdivision Plat as proposed, which is alternative number 1. And I can take any questions you might have.
You said access question was asked. What was the answer?
They're going to use the existing.
Just use the existing. Yep. And maybe this is more for them. What kind of timeline are you putting on this?
As soon as possible.
It looks like a beautiful, I drove by, it looks like a beautiful spot to put up put up on board. Any questions?
None.
Okay.
None. This is a painfully easy yes.
Yep. Then make a motion.
I would move that we get this paperwork out of the way. We move the resolution of 19-45 Oak Hills Residential Parcel Subdivision as presented, and congratulations. It's a great place. The natural delineation of the properties is a great place to build. In fact, you got new neighbors out there. Howard, what was it, 2 years ago anyway, so you're a destination location.
I'll second the motion in there.
There was a motion in a conversation.
In a conversation.
Absolutely. So we got a motion and a second. Further discussion?
None.
Chitty.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Congratulations.
Thanks.
All right. Next item is consideration of revised purchasing procurement policy with 7-day review. Lucy, and you guys are welcome to stay, but don't feel like you have to.
Oh, you don't want to hear me talk about the procurement?
Purchasing is pretty exciting.
Morning, Lucy.
Morning. So I hope you all had a chance to read it. Our purchasing policy has been updated periodically. It was first adopted in 2001. It's been adopted. We try to look at policies every 3 or 4 years. In this case, Darren Moon, engineer, related to federal grant monies, they had asked FEMA, basically, has asked us to update this. I talked to my brothers and sisters in the auditor's affiliate. Everyone that's had FEMA money basically has had to go through the same update, so steal from the best. I looked at probably 7 policies from other counties. I added information. I didn't take away anything that we had in our current policy. Page 3 is all new regarding federal funds. I also beefed up the portion on grant guidance, and then I added something about segregation of duties when it comes to purchasing. Those were all from the recommendations that the engineer's office got from Homeland Security. So, and then I had Darren look at it, and he ran it by the state, and they said that it looked fine. So it will go out for 7-day review, so we can see what we hear from department heads and elected officials.
Sure.
It's just so that we are in compliance with federal guidelines and that we can spend our federal money in the way it's supposed to be.
And as you reviewed our purchasing policy in total compared to the others, as you looked at what you got from your brothers and sisters in the
right.
community, ours has been pretty sound through the years.
Yeah, ours is actually, I think, more comprehensive. A lot of them had nothing and basically adopted a policy because of the feds, but we're actually sort of larding that into our existing policy. So I feel, even though we said we always will comply with all federal and state rules, that's not enough. You have to actually specify certain segments of the congressional financial review. So, anyway.
Good. Questions for Lucy?
None.
So, I'll bring it back next week after 7-day review, and we'll see what comes.
Perfect.
Forget. All right.
Thank you.
Take a motion along those lines, Board.
I would move that we put this out for 7-day review as presented.
Second.
We got a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Olson.
Aye.
Chitty.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye.
Passed. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Next is discussion consideration of usage of the Story County logo for promotional purpose by the Story County Opioid Task Force. And it's not Carla today. It's Deb.
Morning.
Morning.
And Deb brought us some show-and-tell materials that you guys can look at as we're going. Okay?
All right. Good morning, Board.
Good morning.
So the Story County Opioid Task Force has been in existence for almost 3 years, and Story County's had a seat since inception at participating in the various kinds of public education and materials promotional kinds of things that the task force has been doing. What you have before you is a packet that Community and Family Resources has put together. They received some grant funds to do that. And they are asking task force participants if they want to place their logo on the promotional materials to pass that logo along. And so according to our policy, we need to bring that before the board for consideration. I do want to point out a couple of really kind of neat things that are in this packet. And again, it's all about, safe use of medications, safe disposal of medications. and some upcoming community conversations, meetings that are going to occur in January. The medications part, there's a goldenrod insert that talks about the different locations where old medications can be dropped off, the Nevada Police Station, the Ames Police Station, Story County Justice Center, and then Nucara Pharmacies are all have receptacles that you can take old medications to and just put them in the receptacle, and they're eventually taken away, and I believe they burn the medications. That also goes for pet medications, so anything that you just don't need laying around the house, take to these receptacles and dispose of, because, again, it's an effort to help promote getting rid of medications that could otherwise fall into the wrong hands or just be pushed back in the medicine cabinet, and who knows what happens. The other cool thing I think that's in here is it's a little packet of material, and this is just another way to dispose of medication. So if you take the medication vial, put some warm water in it, open this packet and pour in the contents and let it stand for, I think, 10 or 15 minutes, it dissolves the medications, and then you can just throw that away. So I think just another good thing to know about as people consider disposing of medications in a safe and environmentally friendly way. So those are a couple of the things in the packet, but we'd like to have Story County's logo be a part of it and help promote what the task force is doing throughout the county.
Super. Thanks, Deb. Questions, comments, or a motion?
I would move allowance of the Story County logo for promotional purposes for the Story County Opioid Task Force as presented.
I'll second the motion.
Good. Further discussion.
I have a comment putting out. There are actually four departments or offices that are involved with the task force. We've got the sheriff's office, plus we have Board of Supervisors, Community Services, and Veterans Affairs. That between all of those are regular attendants and participants in it. So I appreciate that. I think that this is appropriate.
100%. Absolutely. Any further discussion?
No.
Chitty.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Thanks, Deb.
All right. Thank you.
Next, discussion consideration of Story County funding $800, which is half of the cost for facilitation services provided by Donna Gilligan, who is an outstanding consultant, for the workforce conversation meeting tomorrow.
Tomorrow, that's right. So just a little bit about the meeting. This is an effort involving Brenda Dreyer with the Ames Economic Development Group, Gene Cressy with United Way, and then Story County, to address workforce needs for many of our employers here in the county, as well as many individuals here in the county that need some extra help either obtaining a job or sustaining a job. And so we're pulling together businesses and industries and then human service agencies tomorrow to talk about how they can work together on addressing the workforce needs of those businesses and helping individuals that those agencies work with in obtaining and keeping jobs. So we think it's kind of a unique type of workforce conversation, but we're very interested in the outcome of tomorrow. We know we're not going to have all of the answers, but we're hoping that we can walk away with maybe a couple of ideas that we can then continue moving forward and helping these two groups continuing their conversations. We want the agencies to know what the businesses are willing to do to hire individuals that have some extra needs or extra circumstances that need to be considered. And we want the businesses to know about the agencies that are out there to help provide those support services. We also have kind of a group of what we're calling connectors. So DMAC, Iowa Workforce Development, Manpower, those individuals coming and letting both groups know what they can offer to help be a participant at the table. So Donna is going to be facilitating us throughout the day, and this would be a shared cost with United Way, so up to $800.
Yeah, and so just when I thought that our unemployment rate couldn't go any lower, we were at 1.4%. We were the lowest MSA in America, and 1.4% is, in essence, full employment. And, heck, if we didn't go down to 1.1% in the most recent report. So we're to the point where everybody who is employable right now is employed, But this is a unique opportunity to try to work with some of those individuals who, for whatever reason, have not been all that employable as we need these jobs. I think this is exactly the right way to do it. I like the concept of partnering. I know we've done it in the past, partnering with United Way for these kind of things. I hope that it will meet with favor with the board. Further questions or comments, board?
I'm excited that the three of you, because Devin's been a representative on this and has worked very, very hard, all three of them, I think, to brainstorm and get this together. And when you look at who's been invited in the partners, I mean, you know, Project Iowa's being invited for their concept. I can't think of very many partners who won't be there tomorrow, and to have everybody have that same dialogue and hopefully leave with the same opportunities, but also expectations and challenges, understanding. So kudos in advance, and I bet it's going to be great.
Yeah, I mean, if it were easy, then it would already be taken care of. And this is one of those problems that you love having. Yeah, I mean, you love trying to work through these things, but it all starts with the conversation. And hopefully, so we've got outstanding groups, but they're all just kind of a half step off each other. And hopefully this conversation can get everybody kind of moving in the same direction where we can take care of some of these things that I think it's a once-in-a-lifetime chance to take care of some of these things. And so I'm excited about doing it.
We already have about 45 RSVPs, and it's half and half, it looks like, from the response list. So, we're looking forward to the conversation.
Outstanding.
So I'll make the motion.
Good.
That we approve $800 to be paid related to the workforce discussion that will occur on November 27th. And I don't need to say who it's payable to.
Huh?
28. Okay. Thank you.
Second. Motion and a second. Further discussion. Okay, so the motion is up to $800, but it's an equal split with United Way for the actual cost of facilitation. Olson.
Aye.
Chitty.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. It passes.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks, Deb. No agency reports, no department reports, no other reports. Public forum number two, opportunity for anybody to talk about anything they want right now. Come right on up to the microphone. And seeing no one moving to the microphone, we'll go on to liaison assignments. Marty, I think it's you this week to start us.
Had a rousing meeting with City of Ames last week, their engineering department, City Manager Steve Shanker, in regards to all the foreseen and unforeseens that are in a drainage district as the City of Ames did the annexation to the east. I think they're coming to some comfort or at least knowledge of what their obligations will be with this presence. And some of it was unanticipated, but I think we will have a partner going forward, and I think that you guys, we will try to make an installment on that partnership here next month in our drainage district meeting in Grant 5, and I wish all parties luck going forward in the out years. That said, been fielding, like everybody here, a lot of questions and inquiries in regards to the CAFO applications by the Henry family. It is an evolving thing. Took one from a city council member here in Nevada just this morning before I was trying to walk out of the house. And it will be also another, I think we both have the opportunity to educate the public, and I think we should not miss that chance because we are dealing with a body of law that does not give the county a lot of opportunity to put purchase on decisions. And so I would say that I would encourage you, and as I know you're already doing, to take every chance you can in small conversations to inform the public in regards to what our abilities are, and then I will let it bring itself to us, and we will move and go from there. After that, just small sundry stuff, you know, that's on a day-to-day.
Yeah, and so where we are in the process is DNR went and did their site visits yesterday, I believe. I think our internal group, Jerry, I'll look at you, our internal group met this morning and talked through everything. And so now we're kind of in a quiet period between now and December 11th when we have the public hearing. I would expect this room to be completely full. I would expect that public hearing to last in terms of hours, not minutes. And we'll get through this to the end.
Yes, we will, Marty.
Loris.
Also having those conversations
I agree with you, Rick. So thanks on that.
Let's see. I went to the Ames City Council workshop then on last Tuesday evening. They were discussing stormwater management and a change in their stormwater ordinance that I don't believe will really directly affect us in the unincorporated areas at all. But it was a good conversation for me to listen to about some of the concerns of the development community and a large employer in Ames about as we look at improving the already what's laid in asphalt and cement, and I'm using probably missing a term, okay, about what we call that pavement, all right, that some of the challenges as businesses try to come up to new code. And for me, it was that part of the discussion was interesting because some businesses in Ames apparently are declining to repave their parking lots or do improvements because they're triggering the entire stormwater ordinance then, and it's creating quite costs. So that was informative as we move forward on what we will do. And then the second part of it had to do with the nutrient reduction strategy. And for Ames, it's related to their water pollution control facility. And they have some parts that are expiring there soon or within the next few years. And they're looking at a $35 million bill to have to replace some of that. But the consultant came back with the part of the discussion was just how much in alternate ways, such as going ahead and putting in the bioreactors, et cetera, how much would it cost, how much would it save for the city's obligation. And there will be, I believe, opportunities to once again partner with the Ames City Council as they take on some of these strategies related to water control up north of them and a project north of them. And I just gave them a quick update about what Leanne had told us at our meeting, just I think maybe that same Tuesday or the Tuesday before, about where our internal group was on the watershed assessment. So I think it was worth the time. I have CIRHA tonight. That's the Central Iowa Regional Housing Authority. I do see that in Story County of CIRHA's allotment of Section 8 housing, we have 10 more of those voucher pros coming here in Story County, and I'll find out tonight whether those are 10 new vouchers and the agency has decided to release some of its reserve funds or if these are shifts, people that have just decided to move to Story County. And I have the HERDA board on Thursday morning.
Good. So one of the frustrating things, and so appreciate you attending the Ames conversation and love the idea of Ames kind of moving up along the Squaw Creek to the north and up along the Skunk River to the north of Ames and putting in some of these practices. But one of the frustrating things that we learned in the last 10 days is that IDOLS, in their infinite wisdom, has decided to not fund the Squaw Creek Watershed Authority anymore. And so it's going to create...
Did they give you any reason?
Yeah, the reason they gave was that they'd only use 20, that Prairie Rivers had only used 20% of the available monies, but that's an inaccurate number. I think, this is just me, I think what it came down to is we are so far outside the box in terms of the way the Squaw Creek Watershed Authority operates, is put together and operates, that it's not viewed as replicable. And so they want to spend money in places. It seems like they're going to bigger watersheds with more acres but less impact. The impact that we were having, some of the stats, you know, we doubled cover crops. We doubled all other practices that were going on in there. The people at Prairie Rivers have done a fantastic job, but now that entire program is in real danger. It's in the hundreds of thousands of dollars that they're losing now. So trying to figure out how to keep that going forward and keep advancing is going to be not only budgetary but a logistical problem that we're going to have to deal with. Other than that, I am pretty much all ISAC all the time right now. The person who was supposed to be become the president of the ISAC supervisors exec board did not win re-election. So we're scrambling right now to figure out what leadership looks like for 2019 on the ISAC supervisor board. That and putting together the meetings that we're putting together, and I think I mentioned here a few weeks ago developing a concept for continuing education credits for supervisors and trying to more formalize what it is to be a supervisor and the kind of training that is offered, and participation with our statewide group. So a lot of that, and we're going to have a fun couple weeks here. December 4th will be a big meeting. December 11th, if you include our regular meeting, the public hearing on the Longview Farms three proposals, and then come back that evening with what will be potentially $5 million project in Grant 5. I hope you guys are getting plenty of sleep and eating well, because you're going to need it on December 11th. If there's nothing else, I'd take a motion to adjourn.
So moves.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Adjourn. Thank you.